Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Second hour of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm breathing a big sigh of relief because Tim Staples just walked in the building, and I'm happy to have you here with us. Hi, Tim Staples.
Well, hello, Cy Kellett.
Tim is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization for Catholic Answers and the author of just one of the finest books you will ever read, Nuts and Bolts.
You finally got it right.
What do I usually say? Bolts and nuts?
What I told you to say is it's the very finest book you'll ever read.
Oh, I have the feeling they might read the Bible, though. So,
ooh.
All right. Oh, I just defeated
all
Tim
right. We'll
Staples
give
at his own game.
Yes, you did. You got me there.
Is the Bible a book or is the Bible a collection of books?
It is a collection of books, my friend. See, if I was snappy, I would have snapped back there.
Right. So, and there are 72.
No,
73.
Yes.
Oh, I messed up Daniel. I thought it was Daniel 1 and Daniel 2. And
there you go.
No, wait, that would have been bad. That's I can't save myself. Yeah, 73. I used to think that there were 70 books of the Bible. I just thought because Septuagint sounded like 70, and I just went with it. But of course, it doesn't mean 70 books.
No, it means 70 scholars.
Yes,
who
right.
translated allegedly the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, and they kind of all went away and translated everything, and it was miraculously all the same translation and all of that.
Yeah.
Nice pious legend.
But it's not historical, but that's why where we get the word Septuagint or Septuagint?
Septuagint.
Septuagint, meaning 70 scholars, 73 books, and that's the Greek version.
There you go.
That's the ancient Greek version.
That 73 books, which includes the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But the Septuagint
yeah.
is the Greek translation of all
of the Hebrew Bible
of those books. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All of the Old Testament books. Are we sufficiently confusing everyone?
I feel like it's getting clearer for me.
Okay, good.
But I'm making it more confusing to other people. I'm still feeling bad that I said 72 books. I should probably have memorized.
You know, in your defense, you will find some older Catholics especially will say 72. And the reason is Baruch. Yeah, I'm saying you're old. Baruch used to be considered part of Jeremiah.
Oh,
So you'll hear some folks will say 72. I remember I had
That's probably what I learned as a kid.
I had a scripture professor at Mount St. Mary's. I will not call her name out. Who just off the cuff in class one day said 72 books. And being the smart aleck I was, excuse me, sister, actually it's 73. And she kind of looked puzzled. No, it's but she had just said it out of habit for years. And then she had to think about it. And, there is 73.
Right. Tim, you're also the author of Behold Your Mother.
Yes.
And we've got a feast coming up, a Marian feast.
Yes, we do.
Coming up on December 8th.
Correct.
Which is a Friday.
Yes.
And am I obligated to go to Mass on that day?
Well, that is up to the bishops here in the United States. But on Friday, I would say the answer is always no. It's a holy day, but not of obligation. But I haven't looked to see this year if the bishops are requiring it. Does anybody know?
Oh, I didn't even realize I was asking a complicated question. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, it is. It's basically up to the bishops' conferences all around the world, whether it's going to be obligatory or not. In the United States, generally, if it falls on a Friday or a Monday,
then they fold the feast into the Sunday celebration.
Then it's still that day, but it's simply not obligatory. It's a holy day, but not of obligation because the bishops say no.
But I can go to Mass if I want.
You certainly can. And I will be doing a special broadcast for the folks on that day, pre-recorded. We are pre-recording it, in fact, on Thursday.
Yeah. It's going to be an all-Mary program.
All-Mary all the time.
Yes. Again, our number, 888-318-7884. It is an open forum today. Open forum is for Catholics and non-Catholics, which I think covers all people. Is there any – there's no middle ground there, right?
There is no
Catholic
middle
or
ground.
Non-Catholic.
That's right. And everyone in heaven, hell, and purgatory is Catholic.
Oh, because they know
the truth. They know the truth.
Right. Yes. They may not confess the truth,
that
all
is true,
of them.
But they all
– wait, what?
They're all Catholic in as much as they know the Catholic Church is the true church established by Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
In that That's sense.
Right. Yep.
They may not have the mark of baptism and confirmation and such, but they will know the Catholic truth, my friend.
Yeah, and that's a spiritual mark on us.
Amen.
Forever.
Seal, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 describes it, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what the church refers to as the seal mm-hmm. that we receive in baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. Those are sacraments that place indelible marks on the soul of the recipient.
Shall we go to calls?
We do. I just love this back and forth. We could do
this
for
an hour. Me too, actually. I really learn a lot from you, Tim. I'm not just blowing smoke. Not that I now know how many books are in the Bible, which I probably should have known before.
I taught something.
Yeah, no, I actually learned a lot from our conversations. Let's go to Brian in Bakersfield, California. Have you ever walked the streets of Bakersfield?
I sure have.
Brian, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Thank you very much, Si, and thank you, Tim. Good to speak with you. I have studied the Catholic faith for just about 25 years now on my own, and I've learned a lot from Catholic Answers, including you, sir, and I won't go into all the minute details, but suffice to say, I've spent almost 25 years studying, writing, fielding questions and objections and the whole nine yards.
Yes.
And I'm at a juncture now, having completed my book-length manuscript and submitted it to a very large and successful Catholic publisher,
right.
Which I could name if appropriate. But in any case, submitted that, and it is currently under consideration. And I have contacted various Orthodox Catholic apostolates looking for gainful employment, which is a sine qua non for me at this point. It is absolutely necessary. And
so you want to make your living doing this kind of ministry? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and what I found, for example, when I went into one of the local parishes recently, and they weren't looking for a DRE, they're simply looking for a catechetical teacher. Yeah. And I went in there, and one of my mistakes was I didn't have hard copies of all of my essays as specimens. I just had a jump drive with all of those on it.
I just want to get to a question here that Tim can address, I'm sorry if it feels I'm rushing you, but I'm gathering that the question is, are there jobs available where you can work in an apostolic way, in an apostolate? Am I in the ballpark, Brian?
Right. And
okay. But Brian, I'm going to let Tim sure. answer that. We can come back to you. I'm not going to get rid of you, drive you away. I just want to let Tim answer it.
Well, In a sense, you've come to the right guy. And as much as I do the hiring and firing here, as far as the apologists here in the apologetics department, and I can tell you what I do in looking for apologists. Number one, I always like to see, does this man or woman have a degree? I suggest an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in philosophy or theology. It's not an absolute deal breaker, but it's important. It's up there on the list. And I know for some apostolates, it is a deal breaker. You have to have at least a master's degree. We look for that here at Catholic Answers. Also, it's good that you've given talks, because I always want to hear the prospective apologist, because here at Catholic Answers, we look for guys that are really agile, that are that have a wider sort of breadth of knowledge. We're kind of, you know, we dabble in everything and we're experts in nothing. Although, you know, I'm not opposed to somebody getting a PhD here either. And, you know, that more focused knowledge in an area, we really need to be able to be, you know, agile is a term that yeah. comes to mind, to where you can sort of field questions in lots of different areas of knowledge. So that's what we're looking for. So I need to hear talks on tape because we need folks that can go out and speak. Debate skills are important. So if you have debates that you've done, articles that you've written, and I can tell Brian that you have a lot of those. Those are things we would look at, and a published book is another feather in the cap. So those are the main things that we look for here at Catholic Answers. I have CVs in my office and on file from folks. We don't hire that often. In fact, just in the last 3 years, we have hired two apologists, Trent Horn and Carlo Broussard. I hired both of those guys, and they are working out great. And we do hope to expand our stable of apologists here in the next few years. We're not hiring right now, but it's certainly a possibility. So I know for here you can send your CV, examples of your writing and speaking to me at Catholic Answers, and I will take a look at it.
Brian, is that helpful to you?
It is. I know there are various Orthodox Catholic apostolates around the country, and I've contacted many of them. And as I think I was about to mention, I even went into one of the local parishes here and applied not for DRE, but simply for a catechetical teaching position.
Yes.
And the response I got was, do you have teaching experience? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I spent almost the last 25 years defending, explicating, and disseminating the Catholic faith. And she said, no, you don't understand. I'm not going to define the word teach for you, sir. And I said, well, if you're asking me if I've spent 2 or 3 hours at a clip in front of 30, 40, 50 students for 2.5, 3 hours, you know, at a time, no, if that's your definition, I don't have teaching experience. Well, but I reject the presupposition.
Well, yeah. That's fair enough. But Brian, sure. In all fairness, they're also, I mean, the parish is perfectly free to set their own standards.
Exactly.
Too. So, I mean, that goes both ways. I mean, but there is also, Tim, if I may, isn't there a directory of all the Catholic institutions in the United States and
there
in
is.
The name of it? Do you remember? Or it's a Catholic directory, actually.
Actually, that is what it's called.
I forgot the name of the Catholic directory for a moment there. Brian, I'm still upset about not knowing the number of books in the Bible. Okay, so Brian, I would check the Catholic directory
because
everything in there is solidly and firmly Catholic.
And I think, Cy, you make a great point. It's up to the organization, the school, for example, to set their own standards. So you'll find different apostolates will have different standards than we do here at Catholic Answers as well.
Yep. And just before we take a break, Tim, I want to tell you, I went to the liturgical calendar of the Catholic bishops in the United States. I'm going to read all this to you. You tell me what it means. So the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Friday the 8th, patronal feast of the United States of America. That means Mary, the Immaculate Conception, is our patron
for
America.
Yes, she is the patron for the United States.
And then it says Solemnity, Holy Day of Obligation.
Ah, there you go.
So
it is a holy day of obligation. That means you have to go. And that's because it is so important to we here in the United States. So that's good to hear. I always like it when it's
– It also says vest in white. So do I have to wear white that day or what does that mean?
Yes, if you were a priest, you
would. I'm a priest. Oh, celebrating Mass. Gotcha. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Catholic Answers needs your support. Right now, we're conducting our annual campaign. This is our most important fundraiser of the year. It's the foundation of all our apostolic work. Your response to the campaign will determine how much apostolic work Catholic Answers can do next year. Catholic Answers spreads God's Word in multiple ways, through Catholic Answers Live, Catholic Answers Magazine, Catholic.com, through Catholic Answers Press, and in many more ways. To make your pledge, just go to Catholic.com and click the annual campaign banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the annual campaign banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent just around the bend, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale. With hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code WINTER at checkout. With great new resources on Scripture, church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more. There's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum. Anybody can call about anything having to do with Catholic faith. We'd love to take your call, 888-318-7884. I've been monopolizing the time of Tim Staples, so I will share him with callers now. Anthony in Portland, Oregon,
right,
listening on Modern Day Radio. Do you know that's one of the oldest Catholic radio stations in the United States?
I did not know that.
It is indeed. Anthony, your question for Tim Staples.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Anthony?
Good.
I like that name. I've got a three-year-old son named Anthony. I hope you're not as ornery as he is.
No. I think your son will be smarter than I will.
Okay.
My question is, at the last judgment, will there be a purgatory?
Very good question, Anthony. No. There will not be a purgatory, certainly after the final judgment. In fact, a good verse of Scripture to look at there is Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, which the inspired author there tells us that in the end of time, death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. And some scholars believe that Hades there, it's not referring to Gehenna, which is hell, but Hades is a temporal place. So it may well be purgatory. But the bottom line is, at the final judgment, Anthony, remember, that's where the dead in Christ will rise first as First Thessalonians. Say that 10 times fast. Chapter 4, verse 16 says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? And then all will go to the great white throne judgment, as some call it in Revelation 20, verse 10. Where all will be judged, and that is it. That's the final judgment. After that, there is no purgatory at all. Now, I don't know if you were going this way, Anthony. Some will ask, well, what about people who died just before that, right? And they've got a lot of, quote-unquote, time left in purgatory. Just remember this, Anthony. To put it in simple terms, God can turn up the heat, you know, in purgatory.
Up to a boil.
You know, we think of time in the sense of minutes, hours, days, but we have to remember, after we die, there is a sense of time in purgatory, not time as we understand it. We know time will be, Revelation 22, 4, there will be no more time, at least as we understand it, but there is a sense of motion from potency to act. So those who are in need of purification can be purified, but in ways known to God alone. I like to use the metaphor of turn up the heat, because God can make purgatory more intense and purify in ways we can't even fathom this side of the veil. But does that help, Anthony?
Well, because, you know, those who are, you know, have, like, venial sins, you know, at the last judgment.
Yes.
You know, where would they go? So, because, you know,
yes,
you have to be perfect to go to heaven.
Yes.
No sin whatsoever. Well, and those people who have mortal sins go to hell.
Yes.
But what about those who have venial sins, you know?
Yeah, well, Anthony, that judgment, in fact, here's a good way to look at it. It's Cardinal Ratzinger, in fact, well, Pope Benedict actually taught the judgment itself can be seen, and that really, you see that strongly in St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:15, because he says that the judgment itself, those who are saved and have exactly what you're talking about, Anthony, those venial sins or punishment due for sin still on their souls, those slight imperfections, it says they will be saved, but only as through fire. And that's connected to the judgment. So we could say, Anthony, that even at the judgment, when that person dies shortly before the final judgment, well, their particular judgment happens immediately, and then the final judgment is, you know, quote unquote, 5 minutes later. Well, that's all part of the same judgment. And so that judgment, they're seeing the Lord, and the state of their soul is part of the catharsis, so to speak, you know, where they are purified because they see their imperfection. They see our good Lord and desire to be with him. And we have to remember this too, Anthony, those who are at the judgment or those who are in purgatory know God better than we do. They know they're saved, but they also know they can't get to the end goal because of these imperfections. And that's part of the pain, right? They'll be saved, 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, but only as through fire. So I think there's a good argument that Cardinal Ratzinger makes is that longing for the vision of God is part of the purification. So that happens at the judgment itself, Anthony. And so that judgment, though, is the final judgment. And so you see there in Revelation 20, especially at that judgment, then all will go either to heaven or to hell.
Okay, Anthony.
Does that make
all
sense?
Right, thank you,
Justin. Okay. Thank you very much, Anthony. Appreciate the call. We go now to Dax in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Dax, you're on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Hi, guys. Tim, I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you and the other apologists do over there. You all have transformed my religious life. So thank you so much
God.
For that.
Glory to God, brother. And thanks for sharing that. What's on your mind?
So I have a couple of questions, and I'm just going to try to get through them as quick as possible so that you have time. But my first question is, I understand that at least Ethiopian Catholic churches might celebrate Mass in a different way than American. And I was curious, what does the Vatican deem, mandatory for you to, do to still be considered Catholic? And what is, able to be, varying, I guess.
Right. Well, Dax, let me jump in on that one first. As far as to remain Catholic now, we have to make distinctions here, right? priests, in whatever rite you're talking about, and you're correct, Dax, we have Byzantine Catholics, we have Maronite Catholics, we have Syro Malabar, we have all these different rites, and they will say Mass in different ways. But the priests in those rites are bound by what we call the rubrics, right? The church lays out the law of prayer, right? The lex orandi, which is the lex credendi, right? What the law of prayer is, the law of belief. And for the priests in whatever rite they're in, they are not at liberty, my friend, to change anything that the church prescribes to be said, unless the church says in the rubrics you can say this or in similar words. So priests are given latitude in certain areas. But I want to make it very clear, Dax, priests are not at liberty to change whatever they want to change. But within their rites, yes, they need to know their rights, Cy, right? Mm-hmm. Within their rites, they are bound to follow the rubrics of that rite in union with the Holy Father. Now, if they go against those, they abuse those, which we know, Cy, never happens, right?
Oh,
I'm joking, of course.
Okay.
It depends. In fact, the Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul, wrote a wonderful document on this where he goes through that. Basically, Dax, the closer you get to the words of institution, this is my body, this is the chalice in my blood, those words that are most sacred, the words of institution that constitute whether or not we have a valid Mass at all, you start messing with that, you're talking about grave sin. And there are certain other areas, the closer you get to it, we can't get into specifics on everything here, the more serious that sin is. But it's always a sin for a priest to willy-nilly change the rubrics. The Code of Canon Law says nobody, no bishop, no priest, nobody has authority to do that, Dax. So here we're talking about rubrics of the Mass. When you get closer, look, somebody said, instead of saying, this is my body, I'm going to say, oh, I'll just say, this represents my body.
Oy.
Well, guess what? You don't have a valid Mass. That right. priest has committed sacrilege. That is a grave sin and such. Now, Dax, that's with regard to the rubrics. Now, as far as the faith goes, all Catholics must believe all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God. In fact, Dax, before anyone can receive a sacrament licitly in the Catholic Church, they must be able to say that. I believe all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God. Now, if you don't believe in one thing, well, I believe in everything except the Assumption. Guess what? You cannot receive a sacrament in the Catholic Church. I hope that gets at it, Dax, but maybe we can put a bow on it after the break.
Hang on, Dax. We'll do that when we come back right after this. It is Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Any question you've got about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, it's welcome, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. We'll be right back after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Whatever I have learned, writes Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating, I have learned from the masters of the craft. In his new book, Booked for Life, a bibliographic memoir of an accidental apologist, Carl gives future generations a roadmap of what it takes and what it means to become a Catholic apologist. In the way only Carl can, he recounts numerous real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he's learned. Then, drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. Order your copy of Booked for Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Where can you find answers to hundreds of the most common questions about the Catholic faith? Catholic Answers 20 Answer Series, that's where. Clear, concise, and easy to carry, the 20 Answer Series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. They're available individually at special bulk prices, or you can get a starter pack of all the books in the series at a very special price. And remember, you can now purchase them as ebooks for reading on your mobile devices. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com today to get your copies of all the titles in the 20 Answer Series, or ask for them at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
What do you do on Sundays? You go to church? No, I golf. Ever make a hole in one? No. Well, why don't you pray a little bit? Pray. Yeah, pray. Oh, why I need to pray? I could give you 50 reasons.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Open Forum. We're talking with Dax, and we'll get right back to you, Dax. But I want to remind folks that I didn't even know this is there's such a thing as Cyber Week, but this is Cyber Week, and we do all kinds of cool stuff here for Cyber Week. And we're continuing our half-price digital sale in the shop at Catholic.com. Hundreds of digital books, ebooks, MP3s, e-magazines, all on sale for 50% off. And if you're not purchasing digital products, use promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on everything else. Did you know it's Cyber Week, Tim? Were you aware of that?
I did not. I know Tuesday is Giving Day, isn't it?
That's today. It's Giving some. Yeah, right.
Giving Day. So yes. This would be a good day for folks to give to, what is that called? Catholic Answers.
Oh, yes. An excellent opportunity for you.
Yes.
in addition to this, on Cyber Week, we're offering free shipping on all our most popular items. Not all of our most popular items, on the 20 Answers sampler, the whole collection of all 26 20 Answers series books.
Yes.
You get 60% off and you get free shipping during Cyber Week.
I've got all 26 of them in my hand. You can use this as a weapon as well.
Yeah, in case somebody's coming at you with a question you don't have the answer to.
That's a lot of booklets right there.
Yeah, it is. I know. Yeah. It's 26 books with 20 answers. Do the math while I'm talking.
That's a lot.
You're an excellent at math. I think it's 520. Margo, you have to let me know. Great discounts or free flat rate shipping. Make your dollar go further. Go now and save at shop.catholic.com. And Carrie tells me they'll be rolling out new Cyber Week specials all this week. So keep visiting us, please, at shop.catholic.com as you do your Christmas shopping and all the rest.
Fantastic.
26 times 20. I think it is 500. And
you're pretty sharp, dude.
Am I right?
Did you say 50% off?
Yeah, on all this, everything that's an ebook, anything.
What are we trying to go broke or something, giving all this stuff away? Well, I guess we're not giving away. It is 50%
off. Yeah, 50% off. We're giving away half of it, but the other half you have to pay
for. That's a great deal. Great deal.
Our number here, 888-318-7884. But don't forget to go to shop.catholic.com to get all those deals. Don't get me in trouble with Carrie. Go to shop.catholic.com. Dax, we were talking with you before we went to the break about your question was about how far can you kind of deviate from the norm of the Mass and have it still be a Mass. Did we address that question and did we get the question right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think, one thing just to clarify is,
yes,
if I remember correctly, I think it was that the Ethiopian churches might have more dancing. And so in the U.S. that wasn't actually allowed or something like that. That's what made me think about that question.
Well, Dax, that's a great sort of addendum to your question. In fact, I remember when, oh my gosh, that would have been in 2000. Dax, my wife and I, shortly after we were married, we led a pilgrimage along with my priestly brother, Father Terry Staples, at St. Isidore the Farmer Catholic Church in Orange, Virginia. Go see him. He's a wonderful priest. We led a pilgrimage to Rome and all over Italy. And I remember we were there for the canonization of St. Bakita, the former slave who became the saint. Right. Wonderful story. She's a wonderful saint. But what was beautiful there is we had, and we also had that, what was it, 129 Chinese martyrs, I think it was 119 or 129 Chinese martyrs. And then we had Catherine Drexel, that she was canonized that day there in 2000. So Dax, I wish I could have invited you to be there because it was a wonderful experience. We had people from China, Dax, who many of them got arrested when they got back to China. They were there illegally. They had to sneak out of the country to go to the canonization of these martyrs. We had Africans there to see the canonization of St. Bakita. And then, of course, we had a lot of folks from Philly.
Yeah, for Catherine Drexel.
For Catherine Drexel. But the beautiful thing was that at the Mass, you had the Africans, and this will get to your point, Dax, who were doing something that's foreign to liturgies in the United States. They were bringing up the gifts, and it was a kind of liturgical dance where they brought it up, you know. But you know what was amazing? John Paul was smiling. He loved it.
Yeah.
But you really got a sense there of how culturally dance comes from within. It comes from the culture.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, banal. It's a beautiful part of their expression as a people.
Right.
And it was done reverently and beautifully. You could see John Paul loved it. In the United States, no. that's not part of our culture, and you can't force it. This is something that organically grew, over 1,000 years or more. And so that's what you're talking about, Dax, is different rites in the church have different expressions of worship rooted in their cultures and how the liturgy developed because of their culture, all within parameters that are established by the church. And that's the key. So with these African churches that you're talking about, Ethiopia and such, they are doing within the parameters that their bishops' conference in communion with the Pope have established. So that's all legitimate, Dax. That's all in union with the church.
Dax, thanks very much for that call. Call anytime, 888-318-7884. We go now to Richard in Fresno, California, watching on YouTube. Richard, your question for Tim Staples. Richard?
Hello?
Yes, Richard.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Hi, Tim and Si. My question, yes. I don't know if it's really a question, but at work I have a partner that is always trying to get me to go to his church and preach in his church, and I just want to know if you knew more about it. It's called the Church of Christ. Their messenger is Felix Manalo from the Philippines.
Oh, boy, yes. They are that's also known as Iglesia Ni Cristo. Yes.
Yes.
I know a lot about them. In fact, I went to the Philippines a few years back, and they are, unfortunately, a pretty powerful force in the Philippines. But you have a question about them?
Yeah. We just kind of always go back and forth. I bought a couple of your guys' books, and I always try to explain to him, well, I'm trying to explain to him, I guess, where he thinks Felix Milano is the, I guess, the new prophet. And they quote, I think it's Revelation 7:2-3, and then Isaiah 43:5-7. So I just want to know if you had any more information to kind of battle with that.
Right. Well, Richard, the key is to understand some of their major deviations from the historic Christian faith. They deny the divinity of Jesus Christ, for example. They deny the Trinity. So my recommendation, and when I've encountered them over the years, yeah, they're very fiery. They're very loyal to their prophet, and they're very anti-Catholic. In fact, in the United States, you'll find when they come to the United States, they purposely build their churches as close as they can to a local Catholic church.
Wow.
They are very anti-Catholic. They go after Catholics, but I focus on those most important issues with them. That is, Jesus is God, the reality of the Trinity, which is the, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, the central mystery of the Christian faith, the Trinity. That is the first and most important truth. And from there, the divinity of Christ and such. So that's what I tend to focus on, because you will get a lot of play when you try to say Jesus is God. And they will say, absolutely not. But really, the Catechism also says that is really the focal point of evangelization for Catholics. The principal thing that we do as Catholics is proclaim the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God-man who was sent to this earth to redeem us. And so I find in evangelism it best to really focus on Jesus. And really, with the Iglesia Ni Cristo, they're going to agree with that. So we can say, look, if Jesus said in John 17:3, for example, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Wouldn't you say it's kind of important we get it right on who Jesus is?
Yeah.
And you can focus there, Richard. But, you know, at the same time, I always like to say, Richard, that even though that's what I tend to do with folks from the Iglesia Ni Cristo, we also want to be careful. And I always say this, Richard, to listen to what they have to say as well. If they want to focus on their guy as a prophet, well, I'd hear them out. Of course, I would tend to then say, well, if he's a prophet, he better be preaching the right Jesus. So I would get back to that point. But we always want to listen, but we also want to know what the major errors are as well that they're proclaiming, so that we can help them.
Okay, Richard?
Sounds good. And, you know, if I can, I'm so sorry. I had one other quick thing.
Sure, fire away.
Just speaking in tongues, I had went to another church, a friend of mine's church, and I did speak in tongues at that church. Is that bad?
No, I wouldn't say it's bad. I mean, if you've discerned that you have that gift, you know, I wouldn't be the one to say when you should use it or not. I mean, the church, of course, tells us, you know, we have to be in submission to the local bishop. You know, if you're going to speak in tongues, you better be sure that you're at a liturgy where it's permitted by the local bishop. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in trouble the way the folks in Corinth did. If you know, Richard, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 talks about how some in the Corinthian church were speaking in tongues and there was no interpreter. They were out of line, and Paul had to bring them back. You know, he had his corrective rod and gave them a few whacks there. But he really emphasizes, I think, once you get down to 1 Corinthians 14, right around verses 37 and 38, St. Paul really puts the hammer down and basically says, with regard to all the spiritual gifts, that two very important principles Paul lays out here. Number one, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, Richard, if you're ever in a situation where you think you just have to speak in tongues and you're out of control, well, that's not of God. Because St. Paul says the gifts, the prophets, the prophecies and such, or the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. God does not take you out of control to where, I just have to. No, number one. And number two, I love the way he puts it in verse 38. If anyone thinks himself a prophet or spiritual, let him know that the things I have said are from the Lord. And if anyone does not recognize this, he should not be recognized. In other words, the prophet must be in subjection to the apostle and their successors, the bishops. Very important principle Paul lays out there. So as long as we're in submission to the church, and I think you are, Richard, if you're in a Bible study, a prayer group where other people are free to move in those charismatic gifts, then you know, fine. I would not be the one to say, no, you can't do that. But, you know, as long as we're in submission to the church.
Thanks, Richard. We got to take a break. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live, and we welcome your questions on any aspect of Catholic life or faith. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Tim Staples is our guest, and we'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Get connected to Tim Staples right now by calling Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers here. Christmas is coming, and you could buy your loved ones the latest electronic gadget that they don't need, or you could get them something that is going to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. I want you to know about our Catholic Answers annual Christmas sale, with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code WINTER at checkout. We have great new resources on Scripture, on church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more. There's no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Call 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter the promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 21:5, Jesus spoke of the coming destruction of the temple in a very graphic way as a warning to his disciples. Even though symbols of permanency, such as the temple, were transitory, one day all creation will come to an end. The temple was indeed destroyed. And you and I are terminal. We are going to die one day, so that by His grace, we can come home. With Him, we can do this. We needn't be alone, and we needn't fear. By His own death on the cross, the Author of life is also our gate to eternity. He has made our death a joint experience. Not only does He accompany us in our daily life, He accompanies us in death as well, if we are true to Him. Not only does He call Himself the truth and the life, He calls Himself the way. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum. Tim Staples, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, is our guest this hour. And Kathy in Clearwater, Florida, is our next caller. Kathy, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Yes. I am devoted to the rosary, and I pray it every day, but sometimes I find that my mind just wanders. And I've done everything from going to a quiet place in my home where I have a statue of Mary, no distractions, no TV, used pictures, actually, to go through each mystery.
Right.
Placed members of my family in the mystery. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beautiful.
And yet sometimes my mind wanders I feel so bad. And I feel, I don't know if guilt is it, but I just feel terrible that, what am I doing? Am I just saying the words?
Right. Well, Kathy, you know what? I think you have just proven to us that you are a human being, that you have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I love this question, Kathy, because you are already doing what our Lord told us to do in prayer. You know, he, of course, in as you know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus gave the apostles instructions how to pray. When you pray, pray. And he gives us the perfect outline of prayer. You're already doing that. But there, here's what happens, Kathy, in my experience as well. Kathy, I can relate to what you're saying. We get started. We've got a great structure. We've got the Our Father. It's the most perfect prayer. It's perfectly structured by Jesus. We've got the rosary given to us by our Blessed Mother, right? We've got these beautiful, perfect prayers, and we enter in, and you've got all the best intentions. And I love the fact, by the way, of pictures of your family and inserting them into the rosary. I mean, I might do that. That's beautiful. But inevitably, Kathy, because we are humans, we are fallen. It's not a maybe. Our minds are going to wander. That's part of being in the wayward state that we are. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we have saints who reach the states of ecstasy and whatnot. But even them, if you read their lives, you'll find they struggled too.
Yes, like Teresa of Avila, the great saint of prayer. She talks about her struggles.
The struggles with prayer, right? But here, to me, Kathy, this was a life changer for me. I found myself, and I've had wonderful spiritual directors over the years, I found myself in a wrestling match with myself. And that's exactly, I think, what the enemy of our souls wants us to do, is to get our mind off the Lord and then start thinking about ourselves. And man, what am I doing? Why am I, my mind is wandering, and and what happens, Kathy, is our focus becomes on us rather than the Lord. Here's what I recommend, and it was recommended to me many years ago. Talk to the Lord about the distractions. Right? Once you get distracted, you just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so distracted right now. Can you help me to get undistracted? Everything is an opportunity to turn back to the Lord and say and acknowledge. Do you think, Kathy, he doesn't know you're distracted? I think he does. He already knows it. But don't allow yourself to get totally turned in on yourself, because that's the opposite of what prayer is. But Kathy, I can tell you that is me. I used to. I haven't done it as late. I've had health problems and all kinds of stuff of late. But I used to do the 2 to 3 a.m. at the chapel at church for our 24-hour, what do we
adoration.
Call it? Yes, adoration. Thank you, Kathy. And let me tell you, most of my, probably about 30 minutes out of the hour was exactly this. You know, struggling.
Sorry,
with,
Lord.
So, I would bring a book. You know, I'd bring the Bible, bring a book. Sometimes reading and stuff helps me to get my mind focused. But to me, it's constantly coming back to, oh, Lord, there I went again. I'm sorry. Can you help me to really focus? Yeah. And it's amazing what the Lord will do. Does that make sense, Kathy?
Yeah, no, it does. It really does. I feel like if you ask for help, he will come and give you some assistance.
Oh, he does, Kathy. But a lot of times we end up turning away and focusing on ourselves. At least that had been and still is my problem. That's one thing the Lord can't help. The Lord can't help you if you're not asking him. But go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I was going to say it's 20 minutes, right? A good, right? You really don't want, I shouldn't say you don't want to go longer than 20, but the average mind is 20 minutes, right? So that's why a rosary shouldn't take too long.
Right.
But isn't it amazing how, I hate to say it, but when you're saying the rosary, what will happen?
Yes.
The phone will ring, a doorbell will ring.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Life happens, doesn't it? Yeah, but there's also, you know, people, you know, you don't want to be chasing demons all the time, and there's a demon under every rock, but
Yeah.
The devil and his cohorts are active, and they hate it when we pray the rosary, and they will be coming after you to distract you as well. You better believe it. And so I'll leave you with this, Kathy. The other, I shared this with you, Cy. Let's see if you remember. He never listens to me anyway.
I just lose concentration. I'm trying to listen to you. I just lose concentration. Go ahead.
But Kathy, I remember I had one of the best confessions. This was several months ago. Just a glorious confession. And I was on fire. I walk out of the church. I'm floating. It's one of those times.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't happen often, but my goodness. That night, I had a demonic dream. I mean, it was wow. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and you know what I did? I rejoiced.
Oh, yeah.
I really did, Kathy. Yeah. I rejoiced because I said, oh my goodness, the devil's coming after me. Praise God.
Right.
That confession I had was for real.
It was a confirmation for you. Yeah.
That's right. And so, you know, that's another thing, Kathy, that will drive the devil absolutely crazy is when we get distracted, we make it a point of joy. You know, we turn back to the Lord and say, man, there I am. I'm distracted again. I think old Slewfoot's trying to, you know, get in here to keep me from focusing on you, our blessed Lord, or you, our blessed lady, and allow it to be a point of joy.
Kathy, I think you have helped a lot of people because this is one of the most common things we hear about prayer. May I interject a small story?
Please
at this point that a priest told me one time that there was a priest in the Old West who said to one of his parishioners, if you can say the Our Father without thinking of anything else, just think of the Our Father while you pray it, I'll give you this horse. And so the guy started to pray, and he said, Our Father who art in heaven. Does that come with the saddle? And and he didn't get his horse. So we're all like that, Kathy. Do you feel any better?
Well, thank you so much. I mean, what I'll do is when I find my mind starting to think about dinner or whatever's going on tomorrow, I will focus back on the Lord. And I think, you know, honestly, I'm a big believer is we love our children so much, right? You would give your child anything that would be in the best interest of your child, right?
Amen.
So I think if we go to Jesus and Mary and all the saints and ask for some graces and favors, and we just say, listen,
amen,
can you help me out?
Yes.
I really, really feel their mercy and grace.
Amen.
Oh,
really,
Kathy, you are so right. But we have to remember this too. When we wander, the Lord will let us wander because we need to learn a lesson. It's like with our kids. I mean, I got seven of them, you know, and you want to keep them from, oh, I don't want them to fall and even, you know, nick their knees. But you know what? They need to nick their knees. They need to fall every now and again to learn, you know, their limitations. And so that happens as well, Kathy, but you're right. The instant we turn back to the Lord, and by the way, as you know, Kathy, when we turn back to the Lord, that's because the grace of God is there pulling us back to begin with. We could talk for an hour here on this.
We could, and it's a very helpful thing. Maybe we should do an hour on prayer sometime, Tim.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever listened to Tim. He gives great answers. I'm really impressed. Let's try to get Taylor in real quick from Houston, Texas, watching on Facebook. Taylor, your question for Tim Staples as quickly as you can, please.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. I was hoping if Tim's Protestant background could help me out. I was just wondering, what's the difference between evangelicals and non-denominationals?
Very, very similar. In fact, they're pretty much interchangeable because most evangelicals will tell you that they are non-denominational. However, you do have evangelical Lutherans, evangelical Baptists and such that are members of larger denominations. So that's the distinguishing factor. Is the non-denominationals are not associated with any of those major denominations. But they have, a lot of them anyway, have very similar beliefs. Now, I did mention, you know, Lutherans, Methodists and such, so there are differences. But that's basically it. They're usually of the evangelical sort of persuasion. That's probably an oversimplification, but we
need
almost out of time.
Taylor, does that address your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for all you do.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
Don't be a stranger. Call back.
Anytime, Taylor. We're always here for you. Well, we try to always be here for you. Tim, as our non-denominational churches, it seems like they're having a growth spurt. Is that my perception correct about that?
It's the fastest growing denomination.
Is non-denominational?
We used to always joke about that, you know, the non-denominational denomination, because they really are. Look, quick story here. In 1906, when the Pentecostal movement began, they originally the Azusa Street Revival. We're going to have no denominations, no pastors. Jesus was going to be the pastor.
Yeah.
Within a few years, you had the Assemblies of God, the Four Square, United Pentecostal, Pentecostal Holiness, all sorts of, because eventually somebody's got to be in charge and you got to establish some kind of order in worship and so forth.
Why not just have the ones that Jesus put in charge?
Amen. Like that would be that Catholic church, wouldn't it?
That's why you're here, I think. Tim Staples, is a very pleasant hour. I always enjoy the time.
Great to be with you, brother.
Don't forget that everything's on sale over at shop.catholic.com. There's all kinds of deals on shipping. Some things are shipping free. Some things for $5 flat rate. And everything that is of an e-nature, e-books or MP3s and all that stuff at shop.catholic.com is 50% off right now. Thanks for joining us. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.